Welcome back. This is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. Well, it seems like I could buy a new cell phone every month or two, but certainly every year, they got all kinds of new and fancy gizmos and things that we need to or should invest in. How about ag equipment? Let's find out what the future holds for ag equipment from the Senior Vice President for Ag at the Ag Equipment Manufacturers. Kurt Blades, good to see you, Kurt.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
You bet. You're based down there in Des Moines. Is it true you're a little on the soggy side there?
Well, I'm actually based in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I just happen to be in Des Moines right now, but we are wet in Des Moines. In fact, it was a place not too far from where I am right now that had 11 inches of rain in 2 hours.
Wow.
That's a lot of rain.
So there's a little standing water and...
There was flash floods everywhere. Yeah, so... You know, I think we hear people reminiscent shudder and saying, boy, this feels an awful lot like 93 because of all the rain that came so much and flooded all the banks. So
yeah.
Hopefully that's not the case, you know, further south of here, but that doesn't look really great right now.
Man, life. Well, yeah, and once the soil gets saturated, it's tough for it to soak it up the weather of persistence. Does it look like the weather's going to change a little for you?
Well, you know, we're hot and dry today, and I think there's a little bit of chance of a rain today, and it's supposed to start to cool a little bit over the weekend. So I think there's hopefully a little bit of a drying trend coming up. But obviously, you know, rain makes grain, but too much rain is not a good thing.
For sure, yeah. All righty. Well, speaking of trends, let's talk. You have published a study, or the agriculture equipment manufacturer have published a study on three trends agriculture equipment manufacturers should be ready for. But should farmers be ready for what's changing?
Well, what's important to farmers is important to equipment manufacturers because, well, you're our customers. So by all means, we want to pay attention to these trends because we want to respond to what our farmers are, what our farmer customers are thinking. So we make sure that we've got the right products in mind and that that we're providing those level of services that the farmers need to make money.
Yeah. Well, for umpteen generations, dad and grandpa was green. They had green blood was green or red or yellow. But is that going to be true in the future?
You know, I'm a farm kid from Missouri, and we bled green when I was growing up, and I had a lot of friends and neighbors that bled red or bled yellow, and those loyalties are hard earned. I'd also say that each one of those brands have done a pretty good job of fostering that loyalty, whether it's through good innovation or having good products or having a good local dealer or having good service. So that loyalty has been earned, and it's going to be a little bit difficult for some of that loyalty to go away. But I'll tell you, there's some interesting stuff happening in farm country right now, and with innovation that's happening at a pretty breakneck speed in the consumer space, it's quickly transferring over to the farm space. And you know, who knows what the future is going to look like. We just have some predictions of some mega trends that we think are going to have some major impact in the next 5 to 10 years.
All right. Does that involve less brand loyalty?
I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I mean, I think, you know, farmers are business people, and they do tend to you know, purchase the products from the dealers that they're comfortable with. And those dealerships have long established relationships in those areas. So I don't know that brand loyalty is on the rise or on the decline, but I would say that each one of the companies, each one of the manufacturers that we represent has to continue to innovate, to come up with good products so they can protect that customer base that they have.
Yeah. I know that not all, but you know, Kinsey's got a grain cart that you know, looks pretty much like a tractor, but some of the autonomous tractors that I see being used down in South America, they look more like a box with wheels. So
I'll tell you what, you know, we're not too far away from full autonomy of tractors, and it's kind of like on automobiles where the technology is moving pretty quickly, and it's I don't know if it's within 5 years we'll have fully autonomous tractors, but I'd say certainly within the next 25 years. Tractors will be able to drive themselves without a farmer in the cab. I tell you, when you start adding those type of things to a fully autonomous vehicle, that does change the way a farmer operates a little bit. And you think of you know, that you know, we've our paradigm that we've adopted here in North America with equipment getting bigger and bigger because we're making up for that labor shortage. When you all of a sudden replace that labor with a robot, you don't have to worry about the size anymore because that thing can work 24 hours a day and it can work in a lot of different conditions. So when you begin to apply technology and you think, you know, 10, 25 years down the road, it's pretty amazing what you can dream up of what the farm's going to look like in the nearest future.
And maybe the brain on that autonomous tractor is going to be able to process and synthesize precision agriculture a lot better than the hired man, maybe?
Well, I think artificial intelligence is going to be one of those things that we look back on and say, boy, how did we ever do these things before? I mean, that was a pretty interesting bit of technology that that our friends at John Deere recently acquired, Blue River Technology, that's got the ability to identify a weed based off of cameras and sensors, and then it sprays that weed specifically. I mean, you think about that computing power, you apply that to every little pest that occurs on a field in North Dakota, and all of a sudden you've got a pretty amazing, pretty powerful brain on that pieces of equipment that that changes the way we farm just a little bit. I think some of the predictions from our manufacturers is that you could see a reduction in the pounds per acre, or the pounds of active ingredient per acre, a reduction of up to 90%. I mean, that has big implications in terms of how you farm, the type of equipment you have, has implications on the cost structure of your business. And I'll tell you what, there's some pretty solid, positive environmental benefits if you can reduce the active ingredient. I think that's a good thing for everybody.
Absolutely. So the input costs should go down. We don't have to buy health insurance for the time off for the autonomous vehicles and computerized equipment that's coming. But so is farming going to be more efficient money wise?
Well, that's kind of yet to be seen. Yeah, I mean, I think what we find when we say a reduction in the amount of active ingredient, I think that what has been proven with genetic technology over the last 20 years is that the cost of application active ingredient went down, but the cost of the seed went up. So I think it's safe to say that there'll probably be a shift, but the cost structure is going to certainly look different in the future than it does today.
Yeah. Well, all of this started, I think, back in the 50s, the space race, you know, transistors and all that has led to microcomputer technology and all that. So the space race was between the U.S. and Russia. But now the technology race is between John Deere and Case and all of the other equipment manufacturers out there.
Well, that's part of it. I'll tell you a really interesting piece that we're paying attention to is where that money's coming from that's flying into these to fund these investment companies or to fund the new startups. And some of it's coming from our friends at AGCO and Deere and Case. I'll tell you, some of it's coming from some pretty interesting places too. Some non-traditional folks like Google and IKEA, of all places, have made some major investments in agriculture startups. And you think of what, you know, it's one thing if Caterpillar is investing because they have, they've kind of got rural roots and Midwest mindset, but you bring someone, a different company with, a different mentality than we have in the Midwest, investing millions into farming, there'll be some new thinking. And there'll be some creative thinking that's certainly going to be fun to look at.
IKEA involved in ag equipment. I don't know. Is it going to be particle board with instructions we can't follow? Or
I'll tell you what, that sounds like a nightmare to me. That's a good opportunity for a dealer. I'll tell you that much. But in Europe and up in the IKEA country, they've invested a whole lot in vertical farming and indoor farming. And you think of the technology, we're talking machinery here today, but we start talking about greenhouses and LED lights and controlled environments that happen under a greenhouse roof. That's where IKEA is spending their dollars. Okay. You think about food production. That's pretty amazing what's happening in that landscape right now.
Okay. So, well, and again, that's also part of the food production methods of the future. So should farmers invest in this stuff or let somebody else beta test it?
Well, every farmer's got to make their own decision. They got to make the decision that makes the most sense for them based off of you know, the way their equipment's set up. Just as you know, some farmers like to buy new equipment every year or two, and some people like to buy used equipment. Some people like to buy a piece of equipment and let it run forever. And based off of the economics of that individual farm, I think technology works very much the same way. If they can see the gains, if they can see a way for it to apply to their farm business, then by all means, they should be jumping on the bandwagon. But if it's something they're a little skeptical of, or not sure that they have the level of support in their community to be able to put it together, then you know maybe it's time to wait just a little bit. And you think of some of those breakthrough technologies that have happened in farm equipment in the last, you know, 10 years. Autosteer is the one that shows up, you know, comes to mind the most. It's like a farmer could immediately see the benefit of a tractor driving itself through the field, not just in reduced fatigue and being able to work a little bit longer hours, but also in reduction in the amount of seed, less overlap. And then I'll tell you, every farmer that I know takes a lot of pride in straight rows. So when those rows are guided by a satellite, it's a little bit prettier. And it just makes for a better farm operation. So that was a killer app that farmers adopted in mass all of a sudden. Some of these other technologies, it's just going to have to make sense for the farm based off of what they're trying to do and how their business is set up.
Well, probably these realities that we're talking about may not happen by 2020 even, but certainly by 2050. Bottom line, instead of brand loyalty, tractors and harvesters looking more like computers, and data will drive productivity. The three trends ag equipment manufacturers should be ready for, and farmers should be ready for, too. So, hey, this is great to visit with Kurt Blade, Senior Vice President for Agriculture at the Agricultural Equipment Manufacturers. Thanks for the visit.
Thanks, Mike. Nick, talk to you soon.
You bet. We'll chat again. Have a great weekend.
You bet. You too.